From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I'm from the East Bay, from Concord.
Fruitvale, East Oakland.
I'm from Milpitas.
Berkeley.
Palo Alto.
I live in North Beach.
Coming up, how doll therapy may help patients with Alzheimer's and why some people aren't on board.
It can be considered as treating people with dementia like children.
Then we speak and sing with an Oakland group specializing in Eastern European traditional music. And an Austrian reporter living in the Bay seeks out her favorite food.
I pretty quickly after moving here started to crave that German whole grain taste of bread.
Stories of comfort and culture today on Cross Currents. Hugging a baby doll can sometimes soothe even the most upset toddler. And some researchers say it can do the same for adults with dementia. Doll therapy is catching on in nursing homes, but as Anna Gorman reports, not everyone thinks it's a good idea.
Vivian Gozovsky is 88 and has Alzheimer's disease. She's holding a baby doll dressed in puppy dog pajamas.
Hello, gorgeous. Oh, you're so cute.
She lives on a secure floor at Sunrise Senior Living in Beverly Hills. Caregiver Jessica Butler sits down beside her and they sing to the doll.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You
make it. Nearly every day, Gozovsky visits a pretend nursery at the home. She changes the doll's clothes or lays him down for a nap. She says she goes there for one reason.
Because I love babies. And that's it. And I do have some very nice ones back when I live now in my room.
Her caregivers don't know if Gozovsky believes she's holding a doll or a real baby. But they do know that the doll helps her when she gets agitated. Vladimir Kaplan is the former director of dementia care at the home.
She's able to stay calm. She's able to have a conversation.
Seniors with dementia often get bored, angry, or even violent. Senior centers and nursing homes are using doll therapy to both comfort their residents and prevent outbursts. Kaplan says other places may handle aggression differently.
The solution is not to give them a doll. The solution is to give them an Ativan.
That's an anxiety medication that critics say is overused in nursing homes. But not all elder care providers support doll therapy. Some see it as demeaning. Gary Mitchell is a nurse in the UK who recently wrote a book about doll therapy.
It can be considered as treating people with dementia like children, and that perpetuates a lot of stigma with dementia care that we're trying to get away from.
Studies on doll therapy are limited, but show it can lessen anxiety, improve communication, and reduce the need for drugs. Mitchell says it can also evoke long-buried memories.
For some people living with dementia, it's life-changing.
At Sunrise Beverly Hills, the nursery is set up like a baby's room with a crib and changing table. There's a toy xylophone and a Dr. Seuss book. Kaplan says the idea is to give residents something to do and talk about.
What were your baby's names? How did you pick your baby's names? What are some of the best things about being a mom?
Another resident, 87-year-old Mary Lou Roos, is in a wheelchair and rarely speaks. She can't take part in many activities anymore, but she can hold the dolls.
But I'm really tired.
This morning, Butler hands Roos a doll wrapped in a blanket. Roos pats him on the back and gives him a kiss.
You're doing a good job holding the baby.
Boy.
A boy, yeah. Baby boy. And
Caring for babies is second nature to Roos. Her daughter, Ellen Swartz, said her mom did everything for her five children.
She volunteered at the school. She did Girl Scouts with us. She was on the PTA. So very involved in raising us.
Swartz said the progression of Alzheimer's has been hard. Her mother hasn't called her by name in over a year.
To see the light in her eyes when she has a baby in her arms, I don't care if it's real or not or if it's pretending. If that gives her comfort, I'm A-OK with it.
Swartz says all that matters to her is that the doll makes her mom happy when perhaps she needs it the most.
That was reporter Anna Gorman. She reports with Kaiser Health News, a nonprofit, editorially independent program of the Kaiser Family Foundation.
los fáciles
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. Keetka is a women's singing ensemble based in Oakland. For more than 35 years, the group has been singing songs drawn from Eastern European vocal traditions in Slavic, Hungarian, and Bulgarian. Keetka artistic director Shira Sion and member Corinne Sykes joined me in studio. First, I asked Corinne what drew her to Eastern European traditional song.
A lot of it has to do with the production of the voice and how open and strong that sound is compared with a lot of the style of singing that we might be more familiar with in this country. And so just really being taken by that openness.
And so when you say the singing is open and strong, what does mm-hmm. that mean?
It's much more forward. It's much, it may sound or seem louder, even if it's not technically louder. And kind of has to do a lot with the placement in the head. You know, where are you resonating and where are you sort of feeling that sound? So, for instance, like if we were just singing, you know, art songs or choral something or whatever, it might be like, you know, like, I don't even know what tune everyone sings, but like, Amazing Grace, how sweet, like very light, you know, would be a choral. Or opera is going to be a little bit more powerful, but still in that sort of rounded, like, you know, like a oh, kind of sound, whereas, for instance, the Bulgarian open voice style or something like that is typically where people start, is going to be placed a lot more forward. So, for instance, like, and kind of has to do a lot with the placement in the head. You know, where are you resonating and where are you sort of feeling that sound vibrate in your face?
Vibrate in your face.
Yes. Yes, I tell my students often to think about the cheekbones and the front of your teeth and things like this, as opposed to for, you know, if you're coaching opera, you might say, oh, lift the back of your palate, or, you know, think about singing through the top of your head. You know, instructions like that are going to produce a different kind of resonance.
So let's talk about the Winter Songs tour. Are these winter songs all kind of happy, happy, joy, joy, joyful time, la, 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 or not?
Not at all. I mean, there are, of course, the requisite happy, happy ones. But then there's a lot of ones that speak to the cold, you know, or speak to the reality of winter or death or, you know, different things that may be associated with that time.
A lot of the recurring themes that occur in the carols have to do with may you be healthy, may your flock produce an abundant, bigger flock, may your fields produce an abundant harvest. They're these setting very specific intentions for very specific people and animals and the land itself during a time of year where purely surviving is really difficult and not a guarantee. I think we live in times now where certain New Agey people talk about, you know, the power of setting intention or the power of visualization. But I think in traditional culture, it's a really deeply held belief that if you sing the right song with the right text at the right time to the right person, it's going to produce this effect. And I think we really like to hold that tradition as we're programming winter songs from year to year.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba, and with me are Shira Sion and Corinne Sykes, members of Keetka. Hi.
Hi.
So let's hear a song.
Okay. This is a tune called Av Yerusalime.
Av Yerusalime.
Av Yerusalime. It's a Christmas carol talking about this series of feast days that surround the Nativity. It also is one of these songs in a typical caroling tradition that wishes health upon all of the listeners. Mm. And most importantly, the singers say, and as forgiveness for all of the mistakes we've made this past year, we ask you to give us chocolate. And yeah. Chocolate is a very important substance in keeping Kitka going. So, and so it's sort of become a Winter Songs ritual. Those people who've sort of made coming to our Winter Songs concerts an annual tradition know to bring chocolate to the concert. And when we sing this song, to bestow it upon us. And we've had all kinds of bonbons thrown at us.
Kitka will be holding their annual concert of winter songs in mid-December all around the Bay Area. Check out our website to find out more. It's klw.org. Click Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. And for our next story, we're staying on the subject of European traditions to hear this dispatch from a visiting reporter from Austria in search of one of her favorite comfort foods from back home. For KALW's exchange journalist Alexandra Augustin, what began as a feeling of homesickness turned into a story about the search for German-style bread in San Francisco.
Woo!
Hello! How are you?
I miss you.
I miss you too. I'm okay. Are you calling me from California?
Yeah.
Wow.
Here I was, stranded in San Francisco. That's my best friend Irma in Vienna. She's always there when I have serious problems, like now. There's no dark bread in San Francisco, only white bread.
What?
It's a challenge.
Okay. Yeah, white bread. I've heard about that. What is that exactly?
I don't know. I don't want to know what it is.
There are certain foods you really miss when you're far away from home. Your mom's pie or chicken soup. To me, that food is a slice of dark bread with a thick crust, soft inside with butter and chives. The taste of my childhood. But where in San Francisco can you find this?
Do you know where I can get German bread here?
German bread? I really wish I did know where you could get German bread, but I don't.
Have you ever tried it?
German bread? Yeah, I think I have. I think I've tried some German bread before. Yeah, good stuff.
German bread?
Americans can't do bread?
Sorry, what?
Americans can't bake bread and they can't make bread, and the best bread ever you find in Austria.
You may be familiar with Vollkornbrot or Pumpernickel, but there's a lot more than that. In 2015, the German Bakers Guild counted over 730 different breads in Germany and over 300 in Austria. And I was not able to find a single loaf in the Bay Area. I almost gave up when I suddenly found a person who could help me.
Excuse me, do you have dark bread or like bread that we have in Austria and Germany here?
Well, as chance would have it, we actually have a lot of whole grain bread here in the bakery, here in the mill.
This is Josie Baker, the owner of Josie Baker Bread. And yes, Baker is his real last name. We're standing in his bakery, the mill, on Divisadero Street. It has an open kitchen where about 10 people are kneading and shaping the dough and preparing espresso and snacks. The smell of coffee mixes up with the scent of bread loaves, fresh out of the oven.
Show me around.
Yeah, sure. I mean, here we've got our dark mountain rye bread, 100% rye. We've got our red, white, and rye, which is another 100% whole grain bread. So, yeah, if you're looking for dark whole grain breads, I think you've come to the right place.
You might have noticed that Josie Baker does not have a German accent. He was born in New York and raised in Vermont. So why does he have a passion for whole grain handmade bread?
I never had a big plan. I fell in love with baking and started doing it all the time. The first time that I baked a loaf of sourdough bread was in the spring of 2010, so 6.5 years ago. My friend George, who I grew up with in Vermont, was backpacking through town and he had some sourdough starter and he gifted me a little chunk of it and scribbled down some instructions, and I tried it a few days later and was really surprised.
Back then, Josie was living in a shared apartment in the Mission District. Within a few weeks, he was baking all the time. He baked so much bread that he couldn't store or eat it all. So he offered his bread to friends. His fan base grew fast.
And then on Thanksgiving morning, 60 people showed up at my front door in the Mission. That's when I was like, okay, this is turning into something. I'm going to go for it. And I went for it.
Josie Baker quit his day job and started his own business. In 2012, he opened up the mill. It features the one and only flour mill in San Francisco. The first mill he bought is the heart of his bakery. A pinewood flour mill that he has imported from, yeah, guess where? Austria.
Yeah, there she is. That's the original mill. She's beautiful, right? She's a workhorse. I mean, we ran her 8 hours a day, 362 days a year for 3 years, and it never had any problems. That's it. Yeah, it is a thing of beauty, for sure.
This heavily tattooed baker boy from Vermont is not only making hipsters with an interest in handmade food happy, but also some Germans who live around the corner, like food blogger Julia Spies.
Being German, I pretty quickly after moving here started to crave that German whole grain taste of bread.
She was a customer of the mill from day one, but she didn't meet Josie until she hosted a bakery tour for Swiss, Austrian and German bakers. When they came to Josie's bakery, their mind was blown. The owners of the big chain bakeries were happy to find a small local baker who reminded them of where they got their start.
They were on a research tour trying to find the roots again that had started the business that they might have inherited from their fathers and grandfathers. So they really enjoyed meeting somebody like Josie who came from the heart of things and not from the brain of things.
Josie Baker bakes about 400 loaves a day, but he says he doesn't want to grow bigger because the quality of the bread would suffer. And that attention to detail can even help people with non-celiac gluten sensitivity.
Every single person who's ever come into the bakery and said, you know, I can't eat bread, I really miss bread, and, you know, this looks nice. And I say, well, just try a loaf of the rye bread. Because most people who are nervous about eating bread are more likely to try rye because it has less gluten than wheat. And they try that bread and they say, oh my God, I feel okay when I eat this bread. And I say, yeah, well, you know, try this bread. And they try another bread and they say, oh my God, I can eat this bread too. There's nothing magic about our bread. We're making fresh milled whole grain sourdough bread. We're not making factory made, underhydrated, commercial yeast, not baked enough bread.
So on to the most important part. What does his bread actually taste like? Josie gifted me a loaf of his rye bread. Time for a little testing at KALW's shared kitchen.
Is this how we cut it? Is this how you guys cut it in your homeland? Well, it's gorgeous. And it doesn't give itself up easily.
It should be hot. Then it's better.
Like fresh out of the oven?
Even if it's not fresh, you just put it in the toaster, maybe even in the microwave to get it hot. And I really like the crust.
I think the crust, ooh, I just touched the actual bread. It's so lovely. It feels alive and spongy and delicious.
Indeed, I think I found a good substitute.
God bless first world problems. For KALW in San Francisco, I'm Alexandra Augustin.
That was visiting reporter Alexandra Augustin, who flew back home to Austria this past weekend. We miss her already. Breaking bread with my mama, breaking bread with my mama, breaking bread. Breaking bread with my mama, breaking bread with my mama, breaking bread. Then Papa come home, about when the sun went down. I say, what's happening, Papa? The mom's is rolling up some dough and now we're gonna fry some bread tonight. Yeah. Some whole cake bread. Yeah. I know you know what that is. And finally, we take you back to southeastern Europe for a short musical treat. The guys over at The World According to Sound, KALW sound engineer Chris Hoff and Sam Harnett, bring us a way of making music that involves the most unlikely of instruments. A piece, and I'm not making this up, a piece of shrubbery. Take it away, guys.
This is a person blowing on a leaf. If you do it right, you can play individual notes. The best leaves for making music are oval with flexible, thin edges, like a ficus or walnut leaf. People have been playing leaves for thousands of years throughout Asia and Eastern Europe. With practice, you can make actual music. This guy in Romania, he and his leaf are backed by a whole brass band. According to Sound is made by Chris Hoff and Sam Harnett.
To hear more episodes of The World According to Sound, tune into KALW every Friday morning at 7:30, or check them out at their website. It's worldaccordingtosound.org. And that's it for Cross Currents today. Our team includes Leela Day, Olivia Henry, Jürgen Klemm, Angela Johnston, Lisa Morehouse, James Rowland, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, Kavalroop Singh, Andrew Stelzer, and Bowen Wang. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Hannah Kingsley Ma. Jen Chien is our managing editor. Julie Kane is our managing producer. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by four native San Franciscans who call themselves the She's. They perform at Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco tomorrow night. Music starts at 8 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hana Baba. To keep, and it's insane.